All right, everybody. Well, welcome to episode 4 of Turn It Off with Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
We watched, tonight was one of my favorite. This is one of my favorite sci-fi horror movies of all time. 1978's Invasion of the Body Snatchers, starring Donald Sutherland, Brooke Adams, Jeff Goldblum, Veronica Cartwright, and Leonard Nimoy, directed by Philip Kaufman. It is a remake quasi-sequel to the original from 1956. I assume you've never seen the one from the 50s, right?
That's right.
Okay. So for this movie, Tracy, we didn't get all the way through this one, did we?
Nope.
Okay. We paused it at 52 minutes, and you took a little spell, a little breather. Mm-hmm. And then we finally turned it off for good at 1 hour and 18 minutes. So let's talk about it a little. What was it about? The 1 hour and 18 mark is pretty rough because that's the point where Matthew Bunnell, played by Donald Sutherland, sees all those bodies, all the duplicate bodies, and he starts smashing them open, which is
Thank
pretty
you
gross.
For helping me relive that.
Which is pretty gross, but that isn't the part that you turned it off at. You turned it off when all the other neighbors started screaming at him because they revealed that like they're pod people too. That's the part. So that's
well, see,
was that too
was
much
looking,
for you?
I was looking away from the point. Where
yeah, you know, I don't.
So I stopped watching it when he smashed his own duplicate.
Right.
And like the overwhelming feeling was ew.
It's really
ew,
gross.
Ew. I want to take a shower.
Okay.
And then I thought, well, if I'm not watching it, that's pretty much the same as turning it off.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you could have gone back.
I didn't want to watch it anymore.
Okay. All right. Did you not like this movie at all?
I did not like this movie at all.
Okay, was it like The Shining and that you were involved in?
It was disgusting. It was like slimy.
Right. Well, yeah.
The Shining wasn't slimy.
Okay, no, but I mean like you were involved in The Shining even though you didn't like it.
Yeah, well this one was also very annoying.
Okay. Explain why it was annoying.
Because everybody kept talking over each other at the mm-hmm. same time.
A lot of overlapping.
Makes me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the noises.
Very powerful soundtrack. It's very mm-hmm. powerful music.
And the like weird sort of angles and mm-hmm. twists, you know, make you feel sort of off mm-hmm. equilibrium. But I wanted to punch Jeff Goldblum in the face in that first scene he was in because he wouldn't shut up.
Oh, when he's at the party, yeah. He's very annoying. Yes, he is. He's very, very annoying.
Which means I guess he was doing a good job. But, oh. I'm actually angry at this movie.
Oh, no. Oh. See, now that's funny because I don't find this movie.
I'm a little angry at you, too.
Well, everyone, welcome to the last episode of Turn It Off with Tracy. Now, why are you angry at me about this movie?
I guess because you put it on.
Okay. See, I think this movie is scary because it's like a paranoid thriller, and paranoid thrillers are scary to me. Like, to me, the scariest stuff are the scenes of people wandering around having those mysterious meetings. Like, that to me is creepy, you know? Where the Brooke Adams looks out the window and she sees her husband and he's meeting with people like in some mm-hmm. alleyway and they're handling things. Like that to me is the creepy part. It's like, what the hell is that about? You know? Or like the bit where the wife or the laundryman's like, that's not my wife. And then they show the wife and she just looks odd. So you know something's up there. So like that to me is
And then when he's like, oh, she's fine.
Yeah.
And then he has that crazy look too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when things start really getting hairy, and Donald Sutherland calls the cops.
Hairy.
Yes. But Donald Sutherland calls the cops, and then you hear the voice say, we'll be right with you, Mr. Bunnell. And he's like, how do you know my name? That, to me, was first time I saw this movie. I was like, oh, that's Everybody's in on it. That's really creepy. And I thought it was interesting that he could not bring himself to smash open the duplicate of Elizabeth, but he could do it to himself. Because mm-hmm. he really loves her.
He really loves her, and I think he didn't want to hurt her, and it would have been like, easier to see if killing his duplicate hurt him.
You're right.
Then he would know that he couldn't do it to her. And if it didn't hurt him, then maybe, you know, I don't know if he did bash her in or not.
Right. No, he doesn't. Okay. He doesn't. So. So, okay. Well, I mean, so I have to say, I'm a little surprised. I really thought you'd make it through this whole movie. I really did. Because I don't, I there isn't too many things jumping out at you. But actually, that's kind of a testament to the movie that it was so intense for you that you didn't feel like you could watch it anymore because it's just, it's so, I think that's a testament to how well made it is, that it's genuinely frightening.
Okay.
Let's see, what other stuff I want to tell you. Okay, like, you know the scene where they're driving and that old man runs up to them, like, hits the windshield, and he's like, they're coming, they're coming. Okay, that's actor Kevin McCarthy, who starred in the original Body Snatchers. And that's why in that scene, that's the I think they meant it more as an affectionate nod to the original, but that is some people's estimation that this film is not a remake and that it's a sequel, and the bodies that the aliens that invaded in the 50s have been weeding their way through the world and they've made it to San Francisco, and like that's the same guy he's playing.
Oh, where did the first 20
years
place?
Later somewhere in California.
Oh, okay.
It's based on a book, and a book takes place there, too. The book had the original 50s movie has a much happier ending because they had to have happy endings back then. And so, basically, all the aliens get defeated.
I guess I would have liked the 50s movie.
Maybe so. So, okay. Well, we don't really, I guess, have a whole else lot to say about this one, really. Because, like I said, I think it's great. I think the performances are really good. I think Donald Sutherland and Brooke Adams
have
a great chemistry.
Yes.
They seem to be genuine friends on top of people who love each other. Like, when they have that dinner together, like, they have a real great rapport. Yeah. Really great rapport. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Leonard Nimoy? I thought it was fun to see him in a non-Spock role.
Yes. And I thought his character was super annoying when he wouldn't listen to Elizabeth.
Right.
And I'm like, what kind of a psychologist or psychiatrist, whichever he is, doesn't listen? Like, he didn't listen to the lady in the bookstore or whatever that place was.
Right, when she's saying, my husband's not my husband,
right.
Yeah.
Just not listening to her. And then he didn't listen to her. And I'm like, oh, well, he's just a jerk. I didn't realize he had already been taken over.
Right, he's in on it. He's in on it, so. Yep. Well, do you want me to tell you how this movie ends?
Sure.
Okay. Well, for any of you that are listening to this, if you haven't seen Invasion of the Body Snatchers 1978, and you don't want it spoiled, don't listen any further. Nathaniel Wayne and I covered it on Film and Water way back in like episode 12 or something. So if you want to ever hear about the movie fully under review, you can listen to it there. But like I said, if you don't want the ending spoiled, don't listen any further. Anyway, basically, the four of them, Jeff Goldblum, Don Sutherland, Brooke Adams, and Veronica Cartwright just keep running. Eventually, Jeff Goldblum gets it.
Because he was just snorting that flower and wouldn't stop.
He gets it. Leonard Nimoy corners them. Donald Sutherland and Brooke Adams take pep pills to stay awake because they realize they get you when you fall asleep. There's a very funny beat where they go back to their office and they take like amphetamines. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and he's like, what does it say on the bottle? And she's like, oh, it says take one. And he goes, take five. So you're like, okay. So anyway, they split up. Veronica Cartwright splits off.
Okay.
And Jeff Goldblum splits off from Don Sutherland and Brooke Adams. Mm-hmm. Jeff Goldblum gets it. Donald Sutherland and Brooke Adams make their way to like this field down by the docks because they think the ships are going to be a way to get out. Like, they, you know, they're going to take a boat out because they find out that all the roads are basically blocked. They try and take a cab to the airport, and the cab driver's in on it. You hear the cab driver talking to the mouthpiece saying, I got two people, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
Right. So they realize they can't use any normal transportation to get out. So anyway, they fall asleep. Brooke Adams gets it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, in a really heartbreaking scene where they both fall asleep. And he tries to wake her up, and he doesn't realize that her body has been turned into that husk. And she just crumbles in his hands.
Oh.
And he starts crying. And it's genuinely powerful, because Sutherland really sells it. Because you're like, he's really just demolished that this has happened to her. So he finds near the port, like basically a warehouse where they're growing these pods. And he sets fire to it all. Like, he blows it up. And in fact, he did one of the stunts in that scene for real, not a stuntman. He almost was killed doing it because there was like an explosion went off too soon and he almost got hit. Yeah. So anyway, the movie then sort of fades to black, and we wake up the next morning and we see that basically most of the city's been taken over. And you hear about that they're shipping school children into the city, and they're just shipping people out of the city. So you know that, like, the pods are taking them. So anyway, we find Donald Sutherland, and he walks back to his office, and he's walking by everybody, and he's acting all calm, cool, and collected, like the rest of them. He goes back to his office. He cuts articles out like he was doing in a previous scene, and then he's marching across the street. And as he is walking across the street, Veronica Cartwright shows up, and she sees him, and she's delighted because she realizes, oh my God, someone else has survived. And she starts like saying, Jeffrey, Jeffrey, and she starts like getting all excited.
Matthew.
She's like, Matthew. And we turn, and Donald Sutherland reveals that he is also a pod person.
Oh God.
And the movie ends with him doing this scream where he lifts his finger up like they were doing in the backyard where they're going like, uh-huh. And she starts screaming uncontrollably because she realizes that she's literally like the only one left. And the movie ends like as a giant close-up of Donald Sutherland as he is screaming for them to grab Veronica Cartwright.
Ooh.
And that's the end of the movie.
That would have been very unsettling.
It is one of the great kicking the balls as a final scene for me, because they completely fool you into thinking Sutherland is just pretending mm-hmm. to be a pod person, and then you find out that he is. So, you know, there are a whole bunch of theories of what this movie is really about. Like, what is it saying? Is it, you know, and there's a director's commentary, I'm sure we'll listen to it, on the DVD. And did you notice who played the priest in the beginning? The creepy priest? He has no lines. The one who's on the swing set?
Oh, no, I didn't.
That's Robert Duvall.
Oh, no, I think I might have thought it looked like it. I can't remember now.
That's Robert Duvall in the little... He did it as a favor to the director.
Wow.
He did it for a jacket. He didn't even get paid. He did it for a jacket. So, yeah, that's Robert...
You told me that story.
Robert Duvall is in this movie for no particular reason.
To be a creepy
swing set priest guy. Yep. So, the 50s version of this movie is a classic. Mm-hmm. I think this version's a classic. And then there's one in the 90s set on an army base with Forrest Whitaker, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then they made one with Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig, which is not as good. But generally, this story's pretty durable. Like, usually when they make a movie of it, it's pretty good. I think this one's my favorite. I think it's just great at creeping paranoia. But I'm doing a lot of the talking because you just didn't...
I didn't like it. At all.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Okay.
Goes beyond not liking it.
Okay, but you like the performances? Like, you thought the performances were good?
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Okay,
you know,
I haven't shown you anything that you thought was actually a bad movie, I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay,
I think right. Yeah.
Just too intense for you? Just couldn't go on?
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
All right. Well, that's we got to 1 hour and 18 minutes. We're calling it time of death.
And you know, as I told you, I would not have ever watched a movie that had that. Whatever that thing was before the credits rolled.
Oh yeah, you were free. Well, oh, that's right. Yeah, we should mention this movie's DVD menu has a shot of Brooke Adams as she is turned into a pod person, and you said to me that you would not even watch a movie with that DVD menu.
Nope.
So, and then the opening credits with the heavy music,
was clearly meant to be unsettling.
Yes.
So they did a good job with that, and then. What I thought was ice that turned out to be pod slime.
Pod slime, yeah. The guy that did the music for this movie only ever did one movie.
Wow.
Soundtrack, yeah. He did a great job. His name was Danny Zeitlin, I think. And everyone was like, this soundtrack is fantastic. And he never did another soundtrack. It's strange.
The soundtrack was fantastic. Like, they sold copies?
Well, the music's very effective.
Like, anybody would want to listen to it.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure Mr. Zeitlin doesn't appreciate you.
It was very effective music.
So
you're not really going to sell copies of it, though.
Probably not. Maybe to some horror people. People appreciate music or something like that. I can't imagine. I don't listen to soundtracks, scores outside of the movie, so I don't have a handle
Garden
on that.
Garden State.
That's the soundtrack. I'm talking about, like, the orchestral score.
Oh, okay.
Like, that. Like, I would not want to hear a whole album of just the... Dun. Like, to me, that would... Like, I need the visuals with it, so... Okay. Well, we gave it a good shot. You gave it a shot. I appreciate it. Yeah. 1 hour and 18 minutes. You did as well as you could. So, maybe next week we'll go a little easier. That way to, you know... Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay, so we have a little bit of feedback from the previous episode, The Legend of Hell House. This is from our pal, Dr. Ange. We call him that because his name is Ange, and he's a doctor. And he says, a question for Tracy. Now that this is being documented, is she trying to be braver and see it through like a challenge? Or is she just as apt to say, turn it off as before?
I am definitely going way farther than I would have gone. Like I said, this one, you wouldn't have gotten me past the DVD cover, the menu, whatever that was. Nope.
Okay. All right. Mm-mm. You always know that that's... I don't give you any hassle about turning it off. I know that that's... I want this to be fun for you. And if I try and force you through it, I know that's not going to be fun. So that you always know you have an escape hatch to turn it off.
And you will, if I need to turn it off and just be like... If I need you to tell me what's going to happen so I don't jump out of my skin or whatever,
right. You'll
do that. If I just need to break, like to settle down a little bit and then I can go forward... We can do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I would say I am absolutely pushing past my comfort zone.
I was prepared to have to tell you to look away during the big needle scene.
The big needle
scene. It didn't happen yet. You didn't get to it.
Oh, okay.
There's a big needle scene. Because when Leonard Nimoy, at one point, he grabs the two of them, Brooke Adams and Donald Sutherland, and he starts to give them drugs to knock them out. And he gets a big needle, and he's about to jab one of them. So I would have told you don't look because I know you don't like needles, but we didn't get to it. So you don't have to worry about it.
Yay.
All right. Well, that's going to, I guess, do it for this fourth episode. The feedback from everybody has been very positive. Everybody really loves the show. Everybody loves to hear from you. We might have to do a Film and Water proper on Somewhere in Time because everybody's been giving me grief that I have not seen that movie and I've never seen it. So maybe we should just sit and watch that sometime and we can talk about it. So,
you know, I did see that before.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. It's a handful
of... I read the book.
Handful of movies you have seen that I have not. And it's... So maybe we'll do that. But anyway, thanks to everybody for their very positive response to this. I've been having fun. I don't know if you're having fun.
I have fun laughing at myself.
Okay. I'm very proud of you. This is you're really pushing yourself. This is great. I think eventually we'll find a movie that you will actually like. I don't know what that movie is just yet.
You hold on to that, sweetie.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. Well, anyway, I do think we'll get to it, but Invasion of the Body Snatchers is not that movie.
That's not it. No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Darlin' Tracy, thank you so much for sitting through.
Thank you for showing it to me.
Thank you for sitting through 78 minutes of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see everybody later. And we're now going to go put on an episode of our favorite show, Switched at Birth from Freeform, which is about... two silly teenage girls, and that'll calm us all down, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to go watch that. All right, so, see, thanks everybody for listening, and we will see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Did I ever tell you the one about the English Camel Corps? Did I?
Mm-mm.
They're trapped in the desert, in the Sahara Desert. They've been surrounded by Rommel for 40 days, and they've run out of food. And the captain comes and makes an announcement to the men. And he says, men, I have some good news for you and some bad news for you. And one of the men says...
Oh, wait, you have told me this one.
Oh. Can I tell it to you again?
Oh my God! Lock the door!
They're coming! They're coming! Help! Help! They're coming! They're coming! Listen to me!
Listen! Help me!
Please! You're next! We're in danger! Please, listen to me! Something terrible! Please! You're next! Here they are!